Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So this is the quirky bit. Ruth, you've got any quirk for us?
No.
No quirk?
Out of quirk.
Completely out of quirk. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you a joke, if you want.
Would you like to tell a joke?
This is not my joke, so you don't need to diss it. This is Norm MacDonald, fine comedian.
I don't diss your jokes because they're your jokes. I diss your jokes because they're bad.
Right, that's fair enough. As long as we've established that. This is a joke from Norm MacDonald, the very well-known Canadian comedian, who says, ID... ID. If you look at that, the I stands for I. The D stands for identification. That D is doing all the heavy lifting in that one.
It's a good joke.
See, there you go. That's good. Mumford Sons again. Mumford Sons. Every time I leave you in charge of the music in the car, you just put them... And we were playing exactly...
No, because I had just the radio on, and then you said, no, put one of the CDs on, and we've listened to all those CDs loads of times.
Yeah, but we've also listened to the Mumford Sons. I just feel a bit over Mumford did. Keeping you awake, Al.
It's tiring.
Yeah, well, it is. It is tiring. It's a tiring life, darling. Let's start.
I've been tired. Oh.
Sorry, what were you saying?
I've been tired for like years.
It's awful to be 17 and to
For my short life, I've been tired for 4 years, I would say. Mm. That's a long time to be tired.
It is.
When you're 17.
Well, let that be a lesson for the rest of your life. You will be tired for the rest of your life. Your days of not being tired, they finish when you're about 12 or 13.
It's awful. So no one tells you.
They don't, do they?
No one's like, oh, enjoy that night's sleep because you won't get another like that.
It's true. Well, once more, Ruth, I've been forced to change my attitude on things. We've both been watching...
He's been forced.
Well, yeah.
Dragged.
Well, because I'm doing the... You know, I was quite happy as an old white male... So my attitudes were the old white male attitudes. But since we've been doing this podcast, I've been sort of forced to re-examine things very slightly. And we've got the Brett Kavanaugh thing going on in America at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And normally you would expect me... See, I'm not a great lover of the history thing, which I'll tell you...
Martin Kellner, not a great lover of historical abuse.
I'm not a great lover of... Some of
no, I get what you mean. Going you back far mean. Into people's
yeah,
history to
for,
find
for
stuff.
Reasons that I think I mentioned before about memory, but I've got a really good example of that, which I can give you later on. But as far as Brett Kavanaugh goes, you would expect me to be a little bit wavering a bit on this. But having seen having seen some of the hearings, this man, no way should he be
in the Supreme Court. Oh my God, he's such a sleazeball. Like no one else. And so obviously, like, it cannot even be disputed. And he's lied under oath.
Yeah.
Like, he's actually lied. You can't do that. That's not okay.
He's going to be a justice. It's just...
Yeah, I know. It's madness. And it's also, like, I saw someone tweet saying that... Do you remember the Brock Turner case?
The Brock Turner case? No, the one I remember is Professor Hill and
no, so Brock Turner
Thomas.
Was a college student who I think was, like, a bit of a dynasty student, and he was on...
How do you mean a dynasty student?
So, like, his grandparents had gone to Yale or Harvard or wherever he was going, and he was a swimmer, and he was on the, like, American swim team, and he, like, sexually harassed or raped a party to this girl, and this girl went to the university or whatever, and she said, Brock Turner has done this. And the university tried to protect him so that he could keep his swimming thing. And a lot, and they tweeted that the world we live in is the one that allows Brock Turners to grow up to be Brett Kavanaughs to make the laws for future Brock Turners.
The shocking fact about Brett Kavanaugh is that his high school, had its own 9-hole golf course.
And he said that he, like, no one else in his family had ever gone to... Where did he go to school? Harvard or Yale? Or... And he said, no one else has ever gone to that school. I got there through pure hard work. And someone just took a picture of a really old yearbook or something, and it had Brett Kavanaugh's granddad. So you're not... You're lying.
It's got to be pure politics that Trump has gone for him, because there was, there was a whole...
Someone made a good argument that I read in an article somewhere that about how...
This is what I like. It's the integrity of the research. Somebody wrote something in an article I read somewhere. Go on.
No, and they were saying one of Brett Kavanaugh's things that makes Trump like him so much is that he doesn't believe... He believes that the president is above the law, above the justice system, that the president can't be touched by justice.
I think of all the Trumpery, of all the nonsense that we've had under Trump, I think that this will be a tipping point.
This is so blatantly, like, black and white wrong.
Yeah.
Like, there are rights and there are wrongs in this case.
Well, I'm inclined to agree, but having been a defender of a lot of people who've, you know, been in the headlines for historical abuse, and people like Jonathan King...
Yeah, but there's no expiration date on it.
No, well, we've said that before, but...
And also, loads of people, when Christina Blasey Ford made these allegations, loads of people came out saying, oh, why have you left it till just now when he's going on the Supreme Court? And I think it's probably because, like, you can't have someone who's done those things to you just be allowed to get into that high power without saying anything.
Yeah, I think she seems a very plausible witness and everything.
Yeah, I don't think, and loads of people have had, like, a go at her saying, why wouldn't you come forward sooner? And it's like, oh, I didn't realise that victims had to be told when they were allowed to talk about their abuse. It's ridiculous.
No, I mean, I'm inclined to agree on that case, but let me just give you an illustration of why I continue, and you may think I'm obsessed with Woody Allen, but continue to defend Woody Allen. I was on the train with your eldest sister coming back from London, and it was one of those toilets that doesn't lock properly. I don't know whether you know the ones that they're on.
Yeah, no,
for some bizarre reason, you have to close the door and then you have to press another button to lock it, as if there's any circumstances which you would want the door closed but not locked. No, I won't bother locking it this time.
No, it's just,
that's
so it's
free and easy.
Yeah, but so it's closed. No, that makes perfect sense.
No, it doesn't.
So it's, well, what do you do when you walk into a normal toilet door?
You close it and then lock it.
Exactly. So what are you doing when you go into one of these train ones?
It would be fine.
You close it, then lock it.
No, but it's mechanical, and you and it doesn't work. Basically, the problem is they don't work. You lock them and then they open again. That's happened to me
but
two
I'm just
or three
saying
times.
That it makes sense.
To other people as well.
It makes sense that it would need to close before you lock it, because then you don't want the toilet door to be open all the time.
No, of course you don't.
So it needs to be closed.
So what? No, the whole point is it's mechanical. Somebody's invented this damn thing. We've got food mixers. People have been on the moon. All you need to do is a button that you press, and it automatically closes and locks, because there's no circumstance under which you would want the door closed but not locked.
Yeah, but what about when people are just walking
argue,
down
I'm
the
right.
train?
Don't argue. How do you mean people are walking down the train?
So you don't want it open when
no,
you're just on
precisely.
The train carriage?
So you press the button that closes it and it locks it.
But when...
You cannot argue this case. Anyway, so the toilet was one of those, right?
Yeah.
And we were talking about this ridiculous system, because the door, she was sure she'd locked it, but she was in there and it opened. So it opened when she was in there. Anybody who's been on trains a lot and has been one of those toilets that has the semicircular door will tell you exactly the same thing. So she's in there, the door opens slightly. So she comes back, tells me about the fact that the door opened. She said, no problem, I was just sort of putting my makeup on and stuff. But she said, not like when we were on the Eurostar and I got locked in to the toilet and you never came and got me. And I said, I've never been on the Eurostar. And she said, yes, you were on the Eurostar. I said, no, I'd remember. I have never in my whole life been on the Eurostar, because that is something I would definitely remember, you know, a train that goes under the channel. I said, I've never been on the Eurostar. She said, definitely. I was locked in. I was about eight. She said, I was seven or eight, and I was locked in the toilet. And I was really annoyed because nobody came to get me. You and Mum just sat there and didn't come together.
Yeah, it sounds like you.
Yeah. You and Mum, well, now that's interesting you say that. You and Mum sat there and didn't come and get me, and I was locked in there for ages. I said, well, check it with your Mum. So we get home, and Mum says, ah, yes, you were locked in the toilets, but it wasn't on the Eurostar. It was somewhere in France, I think. And neither of them could remember whether I was actually there or it was a trip that I wasn't on, because I don't remember the incident at all. So it just struck me that there we are. This is just a sort of minor incident about being locked in the toilet. And we've got three different memories, or three sort of possibly varying memories, one of which puts me on a train that I've never been on. Another one...
maybe puts you on a train you've never been on.
Yeah, precisely. Maybe puts me on a train I've never been on. Another one puts me maybe in a train through France. Another one puts me not on a train at all.
And that is the hard-hitting journalism, folks. Well, you can be...
seriously.
No, I know what you mean.
Seriously,
I'm
making a serious point. It was very telling when you said, oh, sounds like you. Well, people say Woody Allen abused his daughter Dylan. There will be people all over the world saying, yeah, sounds like him, because people don't like the idea that he got married to Sun Yi. So I rest my case on Woody Allen.
Yeah, but you can not believe people just because it was a long time ago. Like, there's been back and forths on that.
Well, precisely.
But there has the but on most sex abuse cases, when people come forward to say I've been abused, there's no back and forth on it. It's a very clear thing.
Well, no, it's not. It's a very cloudy thing. It's a very cloudy thing, because what I'm saying is that memory is very unreliable.
You can't make the argument of memory to a survivor of abuse.
Well, yes, you can. You totally can, because there have been numerous cases. And, you know, each case, what I'm saying is each case has to be judged on its merits, and each case has, and if at the end of the day you're just saying, well, he looks like the sort of guy that would do that, he might be guilty, but again, he might not. But you have to give, there has to be a point at which you give someone the benefit of the doubt. Brett Kavanaugh, I'm not giving the benefit of the doubt, because just having seen the two people giving evidence to this hearing, Brett Kavanaugh, absolutely, should no way should he be a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah.
But Woody Allen's latest film, rubbish though it might very well be, should be released. Having done our abuse spot for this week, it'd be now time to do our fat spot, or our overweight, or...
No, fat is fine. Fat a lot of people... Well, basically...
Are people reclaiming fat?
I think, no, I think the idea is that you wouldn't... I've heard... women talk about this, women and men, and whatever, saying that if someone went to you, you're tall, you wouldn't go, oh no, I get really offended about being tall. Or if you said, God, I'm really tall, people wouldn't go, no, you're not tall. And it's the fact that fat doesn't have to be a dirty word.
No, right, fat. So it's our fat spot, good. And so you're going to talk about Tess Holliday.
Tess Holliday was on the cover of Cosmopolitan for October.
Tess Holliday, we should make clear,
Tess Holliday is a plus size model. She's been a model for ages, and she's also done other stuff, and she's an activist, like body positivity activist and stuff. And I've got the picture for her of the Cosmo cover.
Wow, she is big.
She's not just like size. A plus size model, in that sometimes you see these girls who are plus size models and you think, bloody hell, if they're plus size.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? She's a size 26, and she doesn't like mince her words.
The sizes go up to 26. I haven't realised they got that far.
She's a size 26, and she's had a lot of backlash about doing this Cosmo cover, and Cosmopolitan have had a lot of backlash saying you're promoting like unhealthy body choices and you shouldn't have this girl on the cover. And I wanted to see what you thought. Should she be on the cover of Cosmo?
Yeah, I think so. I think the thing about magazine covers is that they aim to be striking and to sell copies of them. I can see exactly why Cosmo put her on the cover.
Oh, no. I don't think that wasn't the question. So, obviously, Cosmo have put her on the cover. It sells well. Stuff like that sells.
Yeah.
Like, and also, Cosmopolitan have been fighting against becoming irrelevant. And they, for the amount of followers they've got on Twitter, they don't get, like, any likes or retweets. And people have stopped buying it. And their online site doesn't get as many hits and stuff. So they've got to do stuff that is...
Shocking
like this that will make people actually take notice of it. But what the question I meant was, do you think it's good for young girls, young women, men, whatever, to be looking at this body, and should it be allowed to be on the cover of Cosmo, in your opinion?
Well, it's a very good question. I can see...
Less than it being... The argument for should it be on it from a business perspective.
I was looking at a journalistic business perspective.
Then 100%.
No, that is a very interesting question. See, if you were overweight, you know, as overweight as she is, you're that sort of shape, what would be your reaction to seeing her on the cover? Would your reaction be, ah, she's on the cover of Cosmo, it must be okay, I'll, you know, give me another cream cake, please? Or would your reaction be, oh my God, is that what I look like?
But I don't think she looks bad. I mean, she's gorgeous, really. Like, her face is absolutely beautiful.
Years ago, you know, when I say years ago, I mean long time before I was born, you used to get freak shows. People would, you know, say, come and see the bearded lady, come and see the, you know.
Yeah, I've seen The Greatest Show.
Yeah. And, oh, well, you have, and you know all about it. You know, you see a fat tattooed lady. And that was a big thing. You know, a lady would have the whole, you know, Niagara Falls tattooed on her back. And people would go and see them as a freak show. And in a way, that Cosmopolitan cover is going back to the spirit of the freak shows. You know, come in, come in, come in. You know, we want more likes on Twitter, but look at this. And when you say look at this, it does shock you when you first see it. I thought
it, but it only shocks you, not because you don't see women who look like this. I mean, the average...
Yeah, but they're always clothes.
She is slight. I mean, she's wearing like a, just for people who've not seen it, she's wearing like a swimsuit type coverage.
Yeah.
Just for people who haven't seen it.
It's not quite a bikini, is it?
It's not a bikini because it's full. A one piece, yes. Yeah. You're only shocked by seeing it because women this size don't usually get to pose in it and don't get to be in fashion the way she is. But if you look at like the average dress size of a UK woman, it's like a 16 or an 18.
Mm.
And the women who walk in fashion shows and are on magazines are pretty much solely size 6, size 8 and size 10.
Yeah. I occasionally... I'm ashamed to admit, watch Lorraine in the morning. And she has a fashion show, and they do have, in fact, almost exclusively, they have bigger, sort of middle-aged, more women, because that's their audience,
yeah,
I suppose.
I guess that, yeah.
So we're quite used to now seeing 16, and size 14, 16,
but
18.
But you still wouldn't see them really that much on the cover of magazines.
No. What's your view?
Oh, I'm completely with her, 100%. I think she's come out and actively said, like, yeah, I am fat, and a lot of... plus size models say, not models, but plus size people say, yeah, I'm fat, it's not a dirty thing. And the idea that people have hit back at her saying like she's promoting an unhealthy body, she's really not promoting anything. All she's doing is existing. Like, the people who are having a go at her for posing on the front of this model are having a go at people who are size 26 for existing. Because they're not, someone being that size doesn't mean make me want to go, oh, I want to be that size too. Do you know what I mean? I don't think it does that at all.
But you could say, in a way, she was sort of selling out, because what she's doing is, she must know, the same as I know and the same as you know, that it's almost like a freak show, that Cosmo are putting her on the front of Cosmo so that people will say, "Woo, blimey," and will take notice. You said yourself, it's a battle against irrelevance, that will take notice of Cosmo. So she's allowing her body to be used to sell
a
magazine.
For like a greater good. Do you know what I mean?
Well, for money, obviously, for our own greater good.
No, but I mean, I think that there will have been a point in Cosmo, and there will be people who work for Cosmopolitan who have said, let's get someone who looks different to what we always have. I mean, if you imagine that you're an alien and all you've got to go on for what the human race looks like is magazines, then you would
Cosmo, I don't think, it's not a magazine like Vanity Fair or Vogue. Or
it's up there, though. It's like slightly lower brow.
Yeah.
But well, still, it's amongst
those. Is it still a feminist magazine? Because it used to be, feminist was the thing about
really.
Cosmo.
Not really.
No, so what they've got...
It's like a fashion magazine.
Yeah.
Fashion lifestyle.
Yeah.
All they're really doing is like diversifying what people look like.
Mm. So you're in favour of it?
Oh, 100%. I don't think you should ever have a go at someone for existing. And if you choose to get really fat because you've seen Tess Holliday on a magazine, then that's ridiculous and it wouldn't happen.
We'll take a short break now for a fine product / podcast. How much do we love it?
So much.
So much.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And let's do the music.
Yes. So this is Cool Blue by the Japanese House.
How can you wait and wash the rain? You're soaked to your feet. Still, you said you'd wait for me. And these things, they go so old. And I'm never sure.
Well, that's the best one you've come up with so far. I really like that.
Do you think so?
Sort of art, very art school type stuff,
isn't it? It's an English indie act, and the Japanese house is just one girl. Her name is Amber Bain.
Right.
And it's just her, and she does like the vocals and plays the guitar and synthesizes it and uses the keyboard, so it's like all her.
Excellent. Very arty.
It is really arty.
Yeah. Is that popular? Do people see it in the chart?
It's not in the chart.
They've done a couple of albums, though, haven't they, the Japanese house?
Yeah, they're not.
In fact, one called The Best of the Japanese House. Wow. Which, yeah, so they must have made a few.
Yeah, they have. They've been around for a little while, but they're not really big. They get like 200,000-ish. Oh, no, they get about 18 million. Sorry.
200,000 to 18 million.
Whoops. No, just so their most popular songs like get 18 million.
So they're quite popular, That's good. I can understand why.
But they're not mainstream at all.
I shall listen.
I'm surprised they've got that many listens, to be honest.
Well, I should listen to some more of their stuff. I tried this week. I thought, do you know what I'll do? I'll try her on some jazz. And I tried to get 20 seconds out of I put a Miles Davis album on, which is called Birth of the Cool. And I listened to several tracks, and I thought there's none of them would make any sense over 20
that's
seconds.
That's what jazz is, isn't it? It's just the same thing over and over again.
Not exactly. The thing about jazz is it's a lot of different things.
It's a lot of different things, but then when you put them together, it all sort of sounds the same.
Does it really? Well, there you are. That's the greatest African-American art form ever distilled in three words. But anyway, so I decided not to go with jazz.
No, I like jazz. I was lying.
I'll go.
Well, I wasn't lying, but you know.
No, you were being controversial for effect.
Yeah. Similar to Cosmopolitan.
Yeah, well, very much so. So I thought what I'd do is I'm not going to play jazz for you. I'll go back to something which I know you like, and that is doo-wop.
Eddie, my love, I love you so. How I want it for you. You'll never know. Please, Eddie, don't make me wait too long.
There you are, from 62 years ago, that was Eddie My Love.
Isn't that in Greece or something where it's Freddie My Love?
They may very well. I mean, the thing about that sort of music, whenever you see one of those movies based in 50s America, they always use those well-known doo-wop tracks. The group consisted of sisters Betty and Rosie Collins, who were sisters of Aaron Collins, who was a singer with the doo-wop group The Cadets, who I think we may even have
The Cadets,
played.
Also a Russian political group.
At the time
of the revolution, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course you're doing that. The Russian, I didn't even know. Tell me about the cadets in the Russian Revolution.
Oh, God, I don't really know. They were socialists, I think.
I bet they were.
And like an alternative to Bolshevism, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, well, there was Bolsheviks and Mensheviks, wasn't there?
They were made up of sailors.
Cadets, yeah, they probably were.
I think.
Were there
the Kronstadt sailors?
Kronstadt sailors.
Yeah.
Were they anything to do with the battleship Potemkin?
No, that's earlier, I think.
It's 1917.
The battleship Potemkin was just a mutiny on the battleship.
Yeah, it was.
But it wasn't to do with like a political group.
Oh, no,
really.
The movie was 1917, Battleship Potemkin. The Sergei.
It was like 1902 or something, the
was
battleship
it?
Potemkin. I think so, it was a bit earlier. Or 1905, maybe. I'm not sure.
Well, the film was made. Who knew that the teen queens would lead us on to the Russian Revolution? Anyway, the brother was in the cadets. And he wrote that song, which was a big hit. It was
lovely.
Got to number 14 in the Billboard Hot 100. They followed up with singles including Baby Mine, Billy Boy, Red Top, Rock Everybody, and I Miss You. And not one of them made the charts there. And and they finished in 57, 58.
A short-lived career,
but they'll be grannies now, and they'll be very old grannies now. They'll be grannies in their 80s now, probably, telling their grandchildren, I had a hit on the charts once. Thank you to everybody who's texted me, emailed me, sent me smoke signal messages, postcards, letters, to tell me that Kanye...
Carrier pigeons.
Yeah, totally. Tell me that Kanye... Kanye?
That's all right.
That'll do. Kanye has changed his name now, and he's just... Yeah. But you,
well,
I presume
a lot of people
you knew
be calling
already.
Him... Yeah, I'd heard about this. But a lot of people call him Ye all the time. Do you know what I mean? Like, fans and stuff will call him just like Ye.
Yeah. Well, Robert Crampton, a very good columnist in The Times, says, it's fascinating news, isn't it? I think he'd be a bit sarcastic, that Kanye West has announced that he wants to be known simply as Ye. Or...
I think it's like Ye. Because you say Kanye. And
well, he
Ye.
Says here, whether that's Ye, whether that's Ye, as in Yeehaw, or Ye, as in... Okay, yeah. I'm not sure. I must find out the correct pronunciation before the hugely rich, famous and influential American rap mogul next gives me a call. How do you pronounce it?
Well, I've always said yeah. But
is that just you or is that the
No, but I thought that was what other people have said to me, but I mean, I don't actually know.
Anyway, he's made the point that Ye has possibly bungled in his choice of nomenclature. K is by common consent the sexiest letter in the alphabet. Only J and Z provide any competition. K, J and Z look good, sound good, and damn it, they feel good too. Yet Ye, has thrown away his legitimate ownership of the killer K consonant in favour of the softer, potentially confusing Y-led construction. Yeah. Meanwhile, his main competitor, of course... We know who his main competitor is, who says, I'm an international rapper, superstar with a hot wife, stakes his J and Z locked down. He's got them. And therefore, Kanye could have had the K out of that K, J and Z. We call it Z because they're Americans, these people. He could have had it. Are you going around calling him Ye then?
No, I'll still call him Kanye.
I think most people will, won't they? And thanks to everybody who got in touch with us on other matters as well.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Colling says, I've been listening to the podcast. I've listened to them all up to July the 5th. So people are falling behind. Keep up. Says, I listened to them on a weekend.
See, it becomes devoid. Devoid's a word?
Devoid is a word, but I don't think it's right in this context.
It becomes void once a few weeks have passed.
Well, you say that. I think, you know, keep listening to the old ones. Keep listening. Says, I listened to them on a weekend when I walked my dog. Thanks for keeping my dog walks more fun. And he's Paul Conning, who's a Help for Heroes ambassador. So bless him for that. Steve Russell says, I've only just discovered your podcast, having heard Martin plugging it on Talk Sport. Whilst nearer Martin's age than Ruth's, I have to say in general, I'm more aligned with Ruth's views.
Well, you know what? That's not an age thing.
No,
it's an intelligence.
Precisely. Having binged, listened to almost every podcast, I realised I missed an early one and went back to listen. He says, I feel you can hear Ruth's development. Anyway, he says, you become increasingly articulate. I'm sure you wouldn't confuse the two Harolds again.
Shipman and Wilson. Wilson the murderer, Shipman the Prime Minister.
He says, anyway, keep up the good work. And when Ruth says, no, you definitely have an accent.
You didn't say it right that at all then.
Go on, how do you say it then?
No,
that's it.
It's all about the air.
Yeah. Because you were sort of complaining about our demographic.
I wasn't complaining, I was just commenting.
Yes, well, what's your observation on our demographic?
It's men.
There are women who listen. I'm sure we get a few, but I think probably middle-aged men or men over 30.
Hey,
men over 30.
Don't go offending people now.
Would be more likely to.
We've not got the listeners to lose, so don't be throwing out stuff like middle-aged.
No, Martin and Ruth podcast at gmail.com. Though, if you do want to get in touch with us. And if you want to hear our music again, so it's Martin and Ruth podcast at gmail.com for that. If you want to hear our music again, what do you do?
You go to Spotify and it's you can either type Martin and Ruth podcast and that will take you to our page, or you can type Ruthie, me and my dad, and that'll go straight to the playlist. Do you want to talk about books?
Yeah, go on.
So I've got two things about books, actually. Well, two, the like slightly darker one first and then the light. Someone wrote an opinion article in The Guardian, don't remember their name either. It's hard to see what, you know, on the Guardian website, like, you have to scroll right up to the top, and sometimes it's got an ad over it, so you can't see who's written it.
That's a good point. If you're listening at the Guardian there, bless it, I mean, the Guardian, bless them, we shouldn't complain. They give us everything for free.
Everything's free.
Everything's free.
And I never make a donation.
No, so, with that bit that comes up saying, please give us some money.
Yeah,
please.
Exactly.
Do you,
X that straight away.
They should make it less pleading, I think. So if you're listening at the Guardian.
Less pleady.
Yeah, make it less pleady and more sort of, maybe light. So, hey, give us a bob or two. So, what have they been saying?
They said, can we all stop publishing, for good and all, non-fiction books about the future, books about how to change your life, books about what it means to be, how we came to be human, and books about Nazis?
In The Guardian.
So, in an age in which lived experience, political testimony, and feelings have found themselves at the centre of the political economy, we'll find them booming in the publishing economy too. So, basically, because we're living in such an anxious world, which we've talked about, more people are writing books about Nazis.
Yeah. Well, it's an endlessly fascinating, you know, you just see, you've only got to watch sort of 20 minutes of a Nazi documentary, or indeed read a book about someone who's a survivor of the camps or whatever.
Yeah, and the last book you read was that Kites book, wasn't it? That was about the occupation of France,
wasn't it? About the occupation of France, yeah.
Which, you know, a bit Nazi.
It was very Nazi. But
I'm doing my personal research project on Maurice Chevalier.
Right.
So that's got a high Nazi
quotient. So that's just the point. People stop writing books about Nazis. But they never will, because it's such a fascinating topic.
But also it's gone up, and because people are so anxious.
Well, people are anxious because it's a scary world, isn't it? So these futurology books will carry on being written. Maybe it's always an anxious world. I think people are anxious at the moment and feel out of control because the internet, they seem to have more power over us.
Where's it going to end? The stuff about Facebook. John Oliver did a bit about Facebook, about how, like, Facebook basically called, like, the uprising in Myanmar, or Burma, if you're old.
Yeah.
Because Facebook is so in control of, like, the type of thing that they send, and, like, because everybody can choose what they tune into now. Mm. So, like, when Brexit happened, a lot of people blame, like, Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and stuff for the fact that that so many people who would have voted Remain didn't vote, because the people who would have voted assumed that, oh, everyone's voting Remain because they just tuned themselves in only to see, like, pro-Remain sentiment. Mm. And it's scary. Yeah. And my second bit about books is that Matilda
by Roald Dahl, yeah.
Matilda is growing up. She's 30 years old. So she's got her 30th anniversary. She's 30 years old. Quentin Blake, who is the original illustrator, has done new books with, new covers and bits of books that imagine Matilda as what her different jobs might be. So on one of the covers, she's an astrophysicist, and on one, she's the head of the British Library. On one, she's like an inventor or an explorer, and they're really, like, so sweet. And Quentin Blake illustrations are beautiful anyway.
But you don't think it's a sort of crass commercial exercise?
Not really. I think it's lovely. It's an anniversary of the book.
But don't you think it's nicer if it's like Bart Simpson, who is forever?
Well, this is what I come on to. A lot of people have been saying, don't let Matilda grow up.
No.
Like, oh my, it's, and a lot of people are saying it's a little bit sad. And, like, for me, I'm kind of their target audience because I was a kid. Oh, I was Matilda's age.
We went to the show at the Cambridge Theatre.
Yeah. I loved reading the books, and I loved the film, and, like, just loved it because I was Matilda's age when Matilda came out. And I was, like, a big reader and bookworm and stuff, and used to just love reading all the books and stuff. So I was like, oh, Matilda.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And that's why it should really be people.
And so people have said that she should always stay young like this, like Peter Pan, don't let her grow up.
Bart Simpson.
But then,
Peter Pan, Bart Simpson, Cliff Richard. She should do that.
I was thinking about it, and I was like, it does have a real, like, kind of melancholy feeling to it, because it is sort of sad in a way. And also it reminds yourself of your own, like, growing up, if you know what I mean. Like what I was saying about being tired, like, you're not 8 years old anymore, you're not Matilda anymore, so that's quite a sad feeling. But
precisely.
At the same time, though, there's a lot of stories for young girls now who have these really strong female characters, and not just, like, young adult books that are like The Hunger Games, but also, like, children's books.
Mm.
But I was growing up in a time when there wasn't the same...
No,
I mean, it's
no,
a,
no.
There wasn't the same amount of children's books, and Matilda was one of those ones where it was like, there's a little girl and she's not looking for a prince, she's not looking for any of those things, she just likes reading, alongside, like, Jacqueline Wilson books. And it's nice to see she doesn't have to stay young like that. It's not a fairy tale. She can grow up and she can be whatever she wants to be. Do you know what I mean? If you look at it like that.
I think what you're doing there is you're pulling the ladder up. I think that, you know, you've had Matilda as an 8 or 9 year old. Let the kids who are now 8 or 9 year old, because it's a great book.
Yeah, but they can have it as well.
Well, yes.
But then they can see.
But what I don't like is this. It's the same with children's TV code. Like the guy from Rainbow died. Oh, Rainbow. Let's watch a bit more Rainbow and all that sort of stuff. And it's like adults reading Harry Potter. I've told you this before. You know, if I'm on a train.
There's nothing wrong with adults reading Harry Potter.
Yes, there is. It's, you know, it's a children's book. It's not for adults. And, you know, if I see an adult reading Harry Potter on the train, as I've told you before, I feel it incumbent upon me to pick the copy of Harry Potter up out of their hands and put it in the trash can and say, there you are, read a book for adults. Don't read a children's book. And it's the
reverence of
children's TV characters and all that sort of thing.
These are not
they
like...
They belong in childhood.
They're not like the kind of books... They're books for illustrations. They're not... You know what I mean? It's art. What I would really like to do, Dad, is come full circle and talk about abuse allegations again, because I don't like to just talk about abuse once.
No. Well, this is an interesting one. Kevin Spacey. Now, the jury is sort of a bit out on Kevin Spacey.
It's not out at all.
Well, it is in my mind.
The jury's not out.
Well, it is, and I'll tell you why it's out, and that's because Judi Dench, and... If we respect... I mean, she's Queen Victoria, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
If we respect anybody's views, we must...
And Queen Elizabeth.
Yes, we must respect the views. I mean, she's as close to royalty as we get. I mean, she's above royalty, is she not?
Oh, she's brilliant.
She's brilliant.
We love Judi Dench.
Well, she... I'm afraid to tell you, Ruth, that she has weighed in on the side of Kevin Spacey.
Oh, dear. No, it won't taint my view of Judi Dench.
Well, Dame Judi Dench has defended Kevin Spacey and criticised the decision to remove him from a film as a result of sex allegations. This is that film, All the Money in the World, about J. Paul Getty, isn't it? The Christopher Plummer.
Wait, I'd never even heard of this story, you know.
What,
the
J. Paul Getty?
Yeah, never heard of it. I've not watched the film either.
No, it's on Sky, so we can watch it sometime.
Yes.
But yeah, they put Christopher Plummer in instead of Kevin Spacey. And she was talking at a film festival. She's one of the few leading industry figures to speak up for Spacey, who, as we know, has been ostracised since allegations of sexual assault were first publicly made against him last October.
And also there's a lot of like stories within kind of the theatre world of Kevin Spacey being completely sleazy.
Yes, but I think we can call that gossip, more or less.
Yeah, but if there's so much gossip, you know, there's no smoke without fire. I truly believe that if loads of people are gossiping about someone, it most likely is based on truth.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what I mean? Just because no one gossips about... Do you know what I mean? People don't just... Even if you look at school...
People gossip about everybody.
People gossip about everybody, but no one gossips about people if there's no reason to. Do you know what I mean?
Well, let me tell you about what Judi Dench has said. Her husband died. She was married to another actor, Michael Williams. She said that Kevin Spacey was a good friend who'd been of inestimable comfort after the death of her husband, Michael Williams, 2001. She questioned whether the film industry would go back throughout history and cut out anyone who'd broken the law or misbehaved. So I think it's the cutting out.
I think it's the cutting out that she doesn't like.
But she's basically says he shouldn't be cut out of films. I always go back throughout history and anyone who's misbehaved in any way, has broken the law, has committed some kind of a... Are they always going to be cut out? Are we going to extrude them from our history? So it's more of the sort of censorship I think she's against. Which
I agree, actually.
I've been with her on that.
Do you want to end with a meme?
Let's have a meme of the week.
Always carry a potato wrapped in foil to a party. It's a conversation starter. Ever seen a lion's egg? A conversation avoider. Excuse me, hot, hot, hot. A conversation ender? Just got this cyst removed. Feel how heavy. Always carry a potato wrapped in foil to a party.
What fantastic advice, and what a lovely meme to finish on. Just to remind you of the addresses and everything, we're available on Acast, iTunes, your favourite podcast provider, obviously, because you're listening to it. And if you want to send us any response, not just if you're a male, I'd be interested if we've got a female responding to us. It's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. So that's all one word, martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. And you can find any of the music you want to hear, including this week The Japanese House and The Teen Queens. And how do they do that?
Go on Spotify and then type in Martin and Ruth if you want to just get our profile, or Ruthie, me and my dad, for the playlist.
Now, a few complaints that we just sort of dribbled away last week, which is, that's it, thanks, like that. So we want to have a more definite...
I think we should just go, thank you for listening.
Yes, but do it more so people do know it's the end, because apparently...
This is the end of the podcast. Thank you for listening. This is the end.
This is the end. I think that's good when we say this is the end, and then we play a sting maybe after that, and that will tell people. So
this is the end.
Is this the end?
This is the end.
I think this is definitely the end, isn't it? This is the end of the podcast.
This is the end.
It is. Thank you for listening.
This is the end.
And this is the end.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.